Dili. For 1.2 billion people, into this last month, Ramadan started, a time of fasting and prayer where they seek to see God's work begin to remodel and reform their lives, where they take each day from the beginning of dawn until sunset to fast and to say, God, I want you to speak to me. And during that day, at the appointed times, as it is every day of the year, they kneel and pray five times a day, facing towards Mecca, a specific, precise prayer, and nothing else in Arabic, asking for God to speak to them. And without doing that, apart from doing that, there is no sense of hope in their religion. And so they do this a lot, believing that somehow if I can just keep up these prayers, if I can do these things, that someday I will be able to stand before God and be forgiven. And they weigh their righteousness against their unrighteousness according to their works. And many of you think of that and you go, whew, I'm sure glad that's not my system. But what is your system? What is it makes you feel like you can come into God's presence? What is it, on what do you base your hope of receiving forgiveness of sins, of receiving answers to prayer? Friends, prayer is the result of relationship, not rules. It is God's desire to be in relationship with us, not to command us to do this because. And yet I still find that many times we wrestle with an awful lot about prayer. You know, I was thinking about this, and we're going to read here in just a few minutes a very simple exhortation to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. And I'm going, and everybody says, amen. All right, let's go home. We know this. We know this. I'm not going to tell you anything new today. You know I should be devoted to prayer. And yet, most of us, if we're honest, would say, I'm devoted to some prayer, sometimes, at some places. But not to prayer. Not to a continual conversation with the Father. I'm devoted to asking when I'm desperate. Most of us pray much better in ER than we do on the beach. And most of us can identify with those disciples. I certainly do. I think it's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, had went aside there to the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that? He only had 11 disciples at this time because one had already went away to betray him and was coming with a crowd to arrest him. And to those 11, as Jesus knew what was coming, to those 11, he said, would you please keep watch with me and pray? And Jesus went aside to pray and began calling out to the Father, saying, let this cup pass from me. And then he came back, and what did he find? Sleeping disciples. I don't know about you, but that bothers me in so many different ways. because I can see myself there, because I can see those guys. I can see, what did that feel like to Jesus? You ever think about what it felt like to Jesus to come back and say, these are my guys. These are the guys I've invested my life into who really understand it. We just did this whole thing in the upper room where seven times in the process of 70 verses, he makes this promise to them about prayer and invites them into this intimate conversation with God that no one had had before. You can call Father, God, Daddy. You can do this, and there's a way to have access. And he comes back, he says, now let's start. They're sleeping. They're sleeping. Friends, the passage we're going to look at today actually tells you how to stay alert in your prayers. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 4. We continue our study through this book. Slowing down this week and next week, just a couple of verses each, because I want you to get this. I want this to become us. I want you to be able to say, that's me. That's what I'm pursuing. That's what I want in my life. And there's things that you are not happy about in your life. This passage has something for you. There's something that you need to hear from God. That's why he appointed you to be here today. I firmly believe that. And so I want to talk to us today about being devoted to prayer. Colossians 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Paul writes this letter from prison. He says, I want you to devote yourselves to prayer, praying that God's going to open a door, that I'm going to preach the word, that this effect will happen. He is inviting them into a relationship. And I think all too often, we think we're being invited to a request line. Please stand in line before God and make sure you got your list ready, and you should be doing this all day long, is come to God with your requests. God is very interested in your requests, but he's more interested in you and a relationship with you. That's why he invites you to bring your requests. And yet, in prayer, prayer is God's plan, friends. It's God's plan for shaping his people to his purpose. When God says, I want you to be devoted to prayer, it's because he wants to accomplish something in your life. And this is a key principle here, is that it's God's plan to shape you. And the confusion I find, and it's where I started. I mean, I can remember as a young man beginning to hear verses about prayer promises and thinking, if I can just figure this out, I can get what I want. Come on, you guys thought that too, didn't you? Come on, I was raised in a family of six kids. It was tough to get sometimes, all right? You know, well, you want this, you want this. You heard a lot of no's. I mean, God says, hey, if you'll do this, I'll do this. If you'll do this, I'll do this. I heard that. This would be awesome. I can get everything I want. And yet I've found in my times with Father, I certainly receive everything I need. He's far wiser than me and has seen to it that I don't get everything I want. And I've lived long enough to be thankful I didn't. Have some of you done that? I mean, all you have to do is go back to a high school reunion. You should be able to be thankful you didn't get everything you want. Some of you should be able to say amen to that. Ain't that right? Hey, but there's things you want, but God doesn't give you. And sometimes that affects us, and it affects us in a way that could be good, could be bad. It depends on your choice and response to Father. You get mad at Dad when Dad doesn't do what you want. How do you view the Father? So look at this here. Because you are invited, yes, even commanded, to pray. To join God in this faith adventure and say, I want you to have this relationship with me. So he says, devote yourselves to prayer. Dedicate yourself, actively pursue this process with me. Come away. Spend time with me. You see, it's interesting. I think many of us would have thought back that it would have been pretty cool to have been back there with Christ. When Jesus was walking and he says, hey, follow me. I said, man, I just went and followed. Okay. He's still saying, follow me, isn't he? He's still saying, hey, follow me in prayer. Would you come and pray? Would you spend time with me? He's the one interceding for us. I'm asking you to begin interceding with me. He still finds us what? Sleeping. Because you wake up in the morning, you hear that invitation to your God time. Remember, we've talked about that. Getting up and spending time with him before the start of the day, you give him that time. And you think, oh, I just need a little more sleep. I'm here to tell you, you know what you need? You need a little more Jesus. That's what we need. We need a little more Jesus. In fact, we need a lot more Jesus. We need that, but we don't sense we need that. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. You have a privileged conversation. I don't know how many of you can remember back to a picture I've seen from long ago. It showed JFK in the White House, in the Oval Office, and a picture of one of his kids, I can't remember which one, just pushing his way past one of the security guards running into the Oval Office to see his daddy. I just have always loved that picture. It don't matter who you think you are. I know who my daddy is. Do you know who your daddy is? He's inviting you to be a person devoted to prayer. So here's a principle. Persistent devotion to prayer is God's desire for you. Persistent devotion. The idea that there's a fervency. When we talk about being persistent, what are we thinking about? It's the idea that you would continue faithfully in spite of opposition, disappointment, or difficulty. Yeah, I'm going to keep going to God. Why is that a challenge? Because sometimes God doesn't do what we want. And when God doesn't do what we want, sometimes we say, well, that's fine. That's fine. You just do whatever you want. You do your thing. What do we say? I'll do my thing. Hello. Wait a second. What's your thing? Didn't you give your life to that Savior? Doesn't your life belong to Him? Do you have anything at all? No, I don't have nothing. I belong to Him. I'm His. I need to be devoted to this process. Friends, it's not just asking. It's connecting with Father that He's looking for. And we can do it through asking, but we can also do it through thanking. We can do it through trusting. This whole chapter before, in chapter 3, he says, set your mind on things above. Is there any better way to set your mind on things above than to pray? I've never found it. And I never found a person who was walking well with God who was not praying frequently with Him. It just doesn't get there. And when I find my prayer life gets thin, I find my flesh life starts manifesting. You know what I'm talking about? We got to watch that. Are we walking it out with Him? So why don't we? Because like I said, I'm telling you something you already know. So why don't we devote ourselves to prayer? I came up with three reasons that I think of. One of the reasons is kind of surprising, but I think it's true. It's because some of you are out there saying, I don't deserve to be answered. I have a hard time coming into God's presence because I know when I look at Father, the Father looks at me and He is so... And you've got something you put in there. It may be disappointed. It may be shamed. I'm here to tell you, that is a lie. You are Father's child. And there is, therefore, now what? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Last week, my grandchildren were with me. They are not perfect. I don't know what happened to the gene pool, but they are not perfect. But they are my perfect kids. You know what I'm talking about? And so that child that refused to eat dinner the night before and therefore cried through the night comes cruising around the hallway at, I'm having my quiet time, about 5:30, 6 o'clock. He comes cruising around the hallway, comes into that front room. Am I upset at him? No. No. It does not matter what happened yesterday. This is my boy today. Hey, Jack, how are you? Jack comes up, sits next to me, cuddles. He's the only cuddling one of the grandkids so far, but he cuddles. And it doesn't matter to me where he's been, what he's done, what matters what? Who he is. Do you see your father that way? He loves you. He wants you spending time with him. So that deserving answer thing needs to be laid aside. Something else. Sometimes we don't come and ask Father for anything because we don't expect answers. God just doesn't do that for me. I know some of you have seen miracles, preacher. I know you've told those crazy stories. I've seen God work in your life. God doesn't do that for me. What's the answer to that? He will. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. The answers I receive in my life have nothing to do with the responsibility of my place. There's an answer for you if you will ask. You may wait a long time for some of these. And some of you need to realize that some of these things that I'm seeing, that I'm testifying about, I've been praying 20, 30 years to see. This one really bothers me. It's another one I came up with. Some of you are not devoted to prayer because you don't need to be. Because you're fine with status quo. You've already achieved the American dream, or you're doing okay with what's going on. Life's fine. I'm okay. Why would I come bother God? God doesn't need to give me anymore. I'm okay with where I'm at. As though it's all about you and where you're at. But you're satisfied. So you won't be devoted if you're satisfied. And some of you are not devoted to prayer because you're not happy with Father. You're mad at him. He did not do what you wanted to do the last time you came with him with something big. And so now you just don't bother. Because, hey, I can't depend on him. What? To do what I want. Hey, I'm here to back that up. You cannot depend on God to do what you want. He's far bigger than that. But you can depend on God to do what you need. You can trust him. So pray persistently. He told a parable in Luke 18 about that. About praying persistently. And the interesting thing is he gets to the bottom of his prayer. He says, I want you to be praying persistently. But the question is when the Lord comes back, he says, will he find faith on the earth? He says, will he find people who are still praying? Luke 18:1. That's exactly what this prayer was about. I want you just to read this verse to you. He says, now he was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray. And what? Why would he bring up the not lose heart thing? We do, don't we? I do. And I've seen so many prayers over my lifetime, and yet, man, I just got a short memory. That's why I tell you, keep that prayer journal. Keep that prayer journal. It will remind you when you're sitting there wondering about the next one, you go back and see what happened with some of these other ones that he's been working on. Friends, the basis of approaching God for prayer is paternity. He's your father. That's what Jesus said. He said, come to him because he's your father. In fact, he said there in John 16, he says, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you'll receive that your joy might be made full. He wants you and I joyful. He said, I'm going to give you answers just to make you joyful. And then there was stuff my kids would ask for and they didn't get. And there was stuff that they would ask for, and I was just, it was so fun to give. And be honest, parents, those of you who had more than one, some kids asked for more stuff than others, didn't they? And tell me the truth, and they got more, didn't they? They did. It wasn't exactly equal, was it? We are not perfectly fair parents. I had one that asked more than the others, and he got more. He says, ask. Devote yourself to this. But it's interesting, in that very promise in John 16 where he says, ask him and I'll do it for you. He says, but I don't tell you that I will ask the Father for you. And that tends to be the way that we see it, is we come to Jesus because we couldn't come before the holy throne. We come to Jesus and then Jesus goes to Daddy and asks for us. That's not what he says. In John 16, are you familiar with that? You can turn on me over there. Let me show it to you. John 16, he says in verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name. Oh yeah, we come to God through Christ. It's not for you, it's for him. It's for his purposes, for his glory. We always come on the basis of Christ. But look what he says in verse 27. 26, he says, you will ask in my name. I do not say to you that I will request the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. He says, I don't have to talk Father into doing something nice for you. Some of you, that's what you're thinking, is that Jesus has to go to the big mean guy and talk him into doing something nice for me. You've got a twisted view of Father, because Jesus is the image of the Father, is he not? That's what he said. I came, if you've seen me, what? You've seen the Father. That compassion, that gentleness, that love, that holiness, that's in Christ, that's the Father. He says, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed I came forth from you, from him. He says, he's going to do it because he loves you. So I want to encourage you this morning. Will you step back into a devoted relationship? Some of you can look at a different place in life and you were more devoted to prayer then than you are now. We call that what? Backsliding. Okay? Listen, if you don't have a time and a place to pray on a regular basis, you will probably find you won't pray on a regular basis. It needs to be a habit. Not a meaningless rote, but a habit. That there's a pattern that says, I go and spend time with God. When one of my children chose to go to college in Canada, we this is back before cell phones, and you know, tried to call a dormitory and find somebody there, and the whole thing, it became very chaotic trying to maintain this relationship. So what'd we do? We said, hey, this time of day, on this day, every week, we're calling. If you want to hear from us, we'd like to hear from you. We're calling. It's on our dime. We want to talk to you. And so we set up a set time, and we had this great extended relationship develop because we made a commitment to a specific time at a specific place. Was that the only time he could call us or talk to us? No. Was that the only time we could call him? No. But we knew at that time, at least at that place, we'd have that. Do you have that with your Father? Have a set time with God. And do this. Now notice what he says next. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Prayer will move towards slumber unless you're thankful. I mean, I have fallen asleep many, many times in prayer. Now, some of those, it's great because I'm praying as I'm laying in bed and I'm going to sleep. I'm praying I'll go to sleep. Some of you know what that's like. Okay. Hey, Lord, I just want to go to sleep. And, you know, if you're having trouble with that, by the way, I found out, is if you just go after it with God, just be passionate in your prayer, Satan will put you to sleep. Say, okay, I'm tired of that. You just go on. But thankfulness. Thankfulness in prayer keeps believers alert to God. He says, keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. It means if you don't have thankfulness, you won't see God the same way. You'll miss things. You ever been walking with somebody and you say, hey, did you see that? And they're like, what? And you go, hey, do you see that? What? And it's like, come on, pay attention, right? Because somebody's missing. That's what he says here. He says, when you're praying, be thankful because it will make you alert to what God's doing. You will see God in different ways when you develop a characteristic of continual thankfulness. I'm saying, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Why? Because you're noticing what God's done. Turn to the person next to you right now. Tell them something you saw God do already today. Go ahead, right now. Just turn to the person next to you. Tell them something you saw God do today that you're thankful for. Isn't that interesting? Some of you had to think about that. This should not require much thought. It ought to be just overflowing out of our lives. That, wow, my God is so good to me. And whether it's those flowers that I saw when I was up walking and praying early this morning as the sun was coming up, or whether it's the Word of God and knowing that promise is for me, or whether it's the people you're with. Can you imagine how uncomfortable it would be if you were sitting here with just me? That'd be scary. Now, God's got a plan for us, and he wants to bless us. He wants to encourage us to enter in, and he says thankfulness is there. So I want to encourage you, pray thankfully. Be a person who's thankful in your prayers, constantly choosing to recognize. Why? Because praise perceives the truth. It sees what God is doing. If you don't see what God's doing, guess what? You're blind to the work of God in your life. See, if you're not abounding in thankfulness, you're blind to the work of God in your life. And then it's as though God is not there. Is God there? Yes, he's there. Do you see him? No. If you don't see him, you don't sense him, you don't relate to him, and you're going to miss out on this whole thing. It comes through thankfulness. Start that prayer journal. Come on, it's a dollar for one of those composition books. And I even bought a bunch of them. We got them back here in the back. But just start writing it down every day. Every day, put it down. Morning and night, I'm putting them down. Just writing down, this is what God did. And sometimes it's silly things. It's okay. It doesn't have to be huge. I love listening to my grandchildren laugh. It's hilarious. I wrote that down. The laughter of my grandchildren. That hummingbird buzzing me when I'm putting out the hummingbird feeder. What are you celebrating about the Creator's work around you? You know these verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Would you read them together with me? These are very clear exhortations for us. Read them. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice when?
Always.
And in what? Everything. Everything. Some of you, we're not naming names, and nobody told me. But some of you are stinking grumpy about some stuff. You haven't let go of it. You're not happy. He says, in everything, give thanks. That means on Mondays. That means that certain client you got, you're giving thanks in that situation, in that difficulty, when there's that, you're still waiting for that answer to prayer. That in that situation, you give thanks. Because you've lived long enough to know he's going to come through well, haven't you? He's going to come through well. He always does. Give thanks. That's God's will. That's God's way. That's how he shapes us to be more like Jesus. You've prayed to be more like Jesus. He says, okay, then here's the things I'm going to give you. This will make you more like Christ. Pray this way. And some people, they say, well, why do I have to be so thankful? I mean, what is God, some egomaniac? He's got to have me saying hallelujah all the time. No. God wants you to be blessed. The best thing that God can do for you is to tell you to give him praise. Because that's the best, is the healthiest thing, to be a thankful person. Doctors have shown bitterness, anger, that is bad for your health. And it's certainly bad for your spiritual health. And some of you say, okay, I'll be thankful so then. We always do it. You know you did this, some of you, with your parents. You want something, you figured out which parent you were going to go to. Oh, yeah, because there was one that you would just, nah, I'm not asking them. So you'd line yourself up, you'd go to the certain parent. And, I mean, this is, you know, a few years in. Some of you started about 6. But no, and then you'd begin saying nice things, you know, you buttered them up. Isn't that right? You were going to try and get what you wanted. Some people think when it says, hey, rejoice always, always give thanks, that's the idea, is that I come in and I butter Father up, I tell him, oh, I love you, you're doing really cool, could I have this? This is not about buttering God up. This is about seeing God for who he is. When I see God for who he is, then I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to trust him. And so giving thanks is not, oh God, you're so good. Can I have this? I mean, you don't like that, do you? I mean, your children are better than mine, but you haven't had that experience that, you know, where they're really, really sweet to you and then you go, no. You know, they start barking at you, right? When you don't get what you want. Do you do that with God? Rejoice always. I'm going to trust that you know what you're doing, that you're doing a good work in my life, and I'm going to believe you, so I'm going to pray. Because praise transforms prayer and prayers into people of God. It just changes your relationship. Why is it so hard? Because so often God makes you wait. This is our problem with God a lot of times, isn't it? He is not on your watch. Hallelujah. He's always got a better time than I do. I just have to adjust to that. But friends, guard your heart with gratitude, all right? And then notice what Paul does here. So he's taught them about prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Then notice verse 3. Praying at the same time for us as well. He says, is your prayer more than about you? I find some people tell me, well, I never pray about myself. I said, okay, how arrogant is that? You don't think you need it? You ought to be praying about you. I'm praying about you. Get your life together. But then there's some people who only pray about themselves. They never pray for anybody else. Paul's a missionary, isn't that right? He's a preacher of the gospel. He says, I want you to pray for me. Man, I agree with this. He says, pray at the same time for us as well. Notice, actually, he says us. See, in every one of his letters, if you look at him, you'll notice that he's got somebody else with him in the letter. We always say, oh, this is the letter of Paul. But if you look over here, Colossians 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. This is Paul and Timothy. He said, are you praying for Timothy and I? Every one of his letters, you check it out, you'll see. He's got somebody else. When he does his introductions, he's always got somebody else that's with him. He's in ministry together. He doesn't do solo. It's a team, friends. Ministry in the family of God is a team. And he says, hey, will you pray for us that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I've been imprisoned? That I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. He says, pray for us. Pray that this would happen, that there'd be a door open, that I would speak boldly, that I'd make it clear. What am I saying? Specific prayer for specific people for specific change. Friends, that affects specific change. When you pray specifically, God works specifically. Who got healed during the ministry of Jesus Christ? Think about that. Who got healed? Wasn't it the people who specifically came and asked? And some of the people asked, they had no basis to asking. Remember the Sidonian woman? The Samaritan? Different ones that came? The Roman centurion? Jesus still answered them. Specific prayer by specific people brings specific change. I hope you're praying for me. I hope you're praying for your small group leader. I hope you're praying for the Sunday school teachers next door that are teaching your kids. Because you know if they're teaching your kids, they need prayer right now. Come on, you know your kids. Are you praying for our missionaries? Sit down this summer with Jared and Ben, and if that doesn't stir you to prayer, you know some of the difficult situations that those people are going through. Mike Mikulovich, one of his recent letters, was talking about it when they were in India. He says, man, I'm really glad we're getting out of this town. It's 107. He says, the next town's 113. You live in that day after day. Are you praying for our missionaries? You holding them up because you know what they're going through is difficult. It's a spiritual battle. He says what? That God would open up to us a door. This is so good. There is stuff that will not open unless you pray. There are things that will not change unless you pray. When Jesus told us, he says, ask and it shall be given to you. Then he said what? Seek and you shall find. And then what? Knock. The door will be open. When we talk about knocking, what are we talking about? We're talking about places that are closed. Things that are you are not given access to. That you cannot go in. There is no way. You're not. Until God moves, it's not changing. Some of you got family like that. They are so close to the gospel. Don't stop knocking. Paul says, I'm praying that God will open up for us a door. Now, if it had been me, and I'm thinking if it had been you, you'd have been praying for an open door. Yeah, out of prison. Hey, would you pray that I get out? That's not what Paul's praying. He says, would you pray that the gospel would get out? That's what I'm praying for, that the gospel will go, that people will be hearing. He doesn't even ask him to pray that he gets out of prison. Think about others. Think about those who don't know Christ. Think about the blessing that Christ has been to you and is to you and will forever be to you. And think about those people who are close to that. Those people who are ministering to people who are close to that. And you pray for them to come to Christ. You pray for God to open that door. Friends, we are in a spiritual battle, and prayer is the path to victory. And there is no other path to victory apart from prayer. Until you've prayed, there is nothing more that you can do than pray. Once you've prayed, then there's more that you can do. But until you prayed, you can't do anything more than pray. It is the greatest work of God on the planet. Last night when I was praying for you, walking through each aisle, praying for you this morning. I'm praying that you would begin to experience this power, that you begin to experience this relationship, that you begin to see the privileged conversation that you can have, because there is something out here for us, friends. It is so much bigger than we have ever seen. He's able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all you could ask or think. That's my God. He'll do that. Wouldn't that make you be devoted to prayer? One of my verses that's kind of a life verse for me is Luke 1:37. When Mary was wrestling with the idea that you got me carrying Jesus And what did he say? Nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. So I don't know what's holding you back, but I want you praying for this pastor. I want you praying for the elders of this church. I want you praying for the people who are going to be teaching at Vacation Bible School. I want you praying for your small group leader. I want you praying for your missionaries. Pray that God will open up to us a door. We have put up a billboard, but God has to open a door. Isn't that right? God still has to bring about a change of heart. Somebody says, I want my child to be receiving this truth. Pray specifically, friends. Pray specifically. Because there is a specific hope and a specific promise that God wants to do a specific work in your life if you'll let Him. How do you see Jesus? The one who's interceding for you. The one who the Bible says, you come, you pray. Look how it's put in Hebrews 4:16. This is a great, there's more to this passage, but I knew I'd be running out of time. So I can't teach Hebrews 4 and Colossians 4. But let's read this together. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Wait. Draw near with what?
Confidence.
Why? Because you're a child of God, coming for the purpose of God, to see the glory of God. If that's your reason, you can come in. If you're trying to steal something out of heaven's bank, don't bother. Okay? But if you're coming for the glory of God, if you're coming because you want to see someone else getting saved, you know that's the will of God for all to come to repentance. You can come confidently and ask for that. Okay, start over. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of what?
Grace.
It is not, hey, I worked this hard. I did this, God. I did this. Will you please? If you do that, you just eliminated God's answer. He cannot reward you for your performance with answers to prayer. It's the basis of Christ. It's the grace of God. It's not your performance. And some of you have no confidence if you haven't performed. And I'm here to tell you, this is really weird, but I'm here to tell you that neediness qualifies you for the blessing of God. Neediness. So back to this verse. Don't go away, I'm here. All right. To the throne of grace, why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Two things there. What is it? Mercy and what? And grace. Okay, mercy. Do you need some mercy? Oh, man. Every time I'm failing, every time I'm falling short, I got mercy. I draw near because God is going to meet you with mercy. God is a merciful God. I don't know what you're wrestling with here this morning, but He's merciful. And the other thing is, and there's grace. Oh, grace is awesome too, because grace is getting favor that you did not deserve. It's a throne of grace. It's not coming because I deserve this, God. I don't deserve this. I just want it. I just need it. Would you please bless me because I need to be blessed. My family needs to be blessed. Those rebellious neighbors, they need to be blessed. Would you work in their lives? You heard that testimony Pat was sharing here this morning. I remember that journey. There was a lot of painful nights on that journey, wasn't there? And you pray sometimes in people's lives for decades before you see those kind of breakthroughs. But friends, you pray with confidence because there's a God of grace who's willing to pour out mercy and grace on those around you. So pray specifically for specific people. And if you're not yet a prayer, then I got to take you to the prayer that you need to pray. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Hey, what's the promise? The promise is whoever believes in Him will never be disappointed. Romans 10:11. And so if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never called on Christ, then that's your first prayer. That's your best prayer. That's the one that brings you into the family. If you've never become a part of the family today, I'm here to tell you Jesus wants you in. He wants you in. He wants you part of His family. You call on me. You say, well, I really don't know how to call. Did you always know what your children were calling for when they were calling? No, you just knew they were calling. There were times when they were young, they couldn't talk yet, but they still got your attention, didn't they? You call, he'll hear. That's what he says. You call in the name of the Lord. You say, Jesus, save me. He'll save you. You say, I need your help. I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know where I went astray, but I need your help. He'll answer you right there. Friends, claim the promise of prayer, and it will transform your life. It has mine, and it is transforming mine. I'm not done. I got so much more to learn about this, but this is the greatest adventure in the world, to be a person of prayer and to see what God will do when we pray. Friends, God responds to prayer. It's all the way through the book. All the way through the book. That ought to be the only thing I had to say to get you to become a person of prayer. He's a compassionate father. He desires that his children would converse with him, not just by asking, but by believing for others. I went through several things. I don't want you to go out of here just going, that's right, I ought to pray more. I want you to go out of here with a plan. Okay, so I walked through a couple things with you. I want to just show them to you if you didn't happen to catch it as I was running by. All right, 5 P's. I don't know why they come out that way in my head. Number one, this issue of persisting in a pattern. Do you have a time set aside to talk with God? If you don't have a time set aside, that's the very first thing. You know, start having a practical time. Then will you begin giving God continual praise? Some of you need to quit griping, quit whining, start praising. All right? And then choose a project. Choose something. Say, hey, this is something specific. I want to see God do this at Vacation Bible School. This is what I want to see God do. This is the family I want to see God bring. This is the ministry that I want to have. You pray specifically. And then I want to encourage you to do this. Some of you have never done this. Pick a partner. Will you find somebody else that you can pray with? Some of you, maybe somebody else who's, you've got an unsaved spouse. You find somebody else with an unsaved spouse. You join together as a team and you pray for God to move. If it may be some other situation, they've got kids, you've got kids, you've got plenty to pray about. You find somebody as a partner, you pray together. Some of you who are well past the kids thing, would you come alongside somebody that has them and begin praying with them because you know what it was like when you were there? Will you be that kind of partner for somebody? Be a prayer partner. So often what we want is what? Somebody to be my partner. Hey, will you come hold me up? Will you go hold somebody else up in Christ? Amen? You do that for somebody, all right? And fifth, I want you to claim a prayer promise. What are you coming that he has said, I will do this, and you say, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe what you said. I'm going to ask until I receive. Devote yourselves to prayer. Because the God on the throne is devoted to you. And he's praying forever for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you.